We're gonna bring the August 21st meeting of Rutgers Water Sewer Commission to order. I need a motion and a second to approve the minutes from July 24th, 2023.
I'll make a motion to approve minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes carry 4-0. And we will move on to reports.
Thank you. Financial reports are, what I put in there was from last month. This won't change materially. We are, our auditors arrived Monday, 8/28. We got all our working papers just about all in order. Matt's got that under control right now. And once the audit's done, then we can complete everything and we'll be able to present year end and everything else at the next meeting. But we did have a good year, as you can tell. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to entertain those. And we still are in the search for a position.
You stole my question.
You want to make sure it's the right person?
You said it's very important.
Probably
with the shoes they're filling.
Yes, sir. There's a lot of people that can do it. Pull in the person that can fit in this organization the best and work with us on the team. So next month, you have plenty of financials next month. Any questions? Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Good afternoon.
Your name.
I'll be brief. We have a pretty cool agenda. July development plan review. We reviewed 19 sets of plans. It's a little bit deceiving. I think we had almost that many go out the first week of August. So I think we were carrying a little bit of a backlog in July. We've got 35 so far in August. Some of the notable plans on here. Mathis Brothers Furniture Store and Carmax are some pretty big commercial developments down on off of South Dixieland Road, off of the Pleasant Grove Road exit, and then also the Heights at Magnolia Farms. We're seeing multifamily development continue in the Promenade Boulevard area south between Walnut and New Hope Road, and so I think we're going to continue to see that area fill out with multifamily.
How many did you get off the books?
I'm sorry?
How many came off the books? I see like Shadow Valley is already getting one off. I'm just seeing what are y'all having pretty standard amount coming off the books every week or every month?
We've averaged about 40 plan reviews a month pretty consistently for the last few years. And that's plumbing and fire line and civil review and everything. These are the letters that were sent out last month. So like I say, we've sent out 35 of these in August so far. So
we're seeing at the city of Bentonville is we're getting the same number in, but we're seeing projects drag out longer, so we're not closing as many out on a monthly basis.
Are you seeing more subsequent reviews of the same project?
Yes, we're seeing that as well. But yeah, for some reason, the duration of construction is taking a lot longer, and we're seeing a lot stay on the books where we were closing out, let's say, 8 every
year. Oh, okay. Final closing out, getting ready for all that.
We're not seeing as many process groups. So I didn't know if y'all were seeing the same.
I'll look at that for next month because I know I don't keep a count of that, but I know the city of Rogers has they keep a record of active projects. So that's either in some phase of the design or construction.
Yeah.
And usually that number hovers somewhere around 70 to 80
yeah.
active projects at any given time.
About what we're at.
Two comments. When you said, for clarity, the 35, is that 35 new projects that come on, or is that, because some of these have multiple reviews, it's 35 reviews.
35 reviews.
And back to the comment, I know that there were the CarMax and that Mathis Brothers, those were announced a long time ago. So whether those projects, you know, when you go back to just the timeline from when those were announced to you're finally seeing something happen, to me it's kind of interesting. You know, those were, they're not old projects, but we're now to the first review where you're actually seeing it. So they've been sitting somewhere for a long time to get to this point. So not sure what that says, but
all the engineers are busy.
Well, the engineers are busy, and I mean, probably some contractors are busy too. If you look at the number of bids we're getting in these days compared to what we were getting 5 years ago, hard to find the people who do the work. So. Project status is the change in status. We did receive bids on Poplar and 13th Street roundabout, which also includes other pedestrian improvements on 13th Street. I'll present those bid results today in the meeting for the utility portion of those projects. Bentry and Berry Farm lift station decommissioning. It's in the construction phase. We're going to schedule that pre-construction meeting probably within the next couple of weeks or so. Get those guys going. We did get started on the portion of Arkansas Street north of Chestnut, laying 12-inch water line up along Pelfries there. We're doing that ahead of the continuation of the street project so the city can continue laying storm sewer, which is going to be laid in the same place where our existing water line is. And so we had gotten started on that. We did complete the material storage improvement project, so field ops is using that. They're able to store all their aggregate and topsoil and everything out there.
Hey, Brian, I noticed, and this is a question that today on Bellevue, and I don't know if it's, and I know we have J.B. Hunt Drive on there, not sure just exactly as that comes around on 28. Is that, and it, they closed it down to two lane, but it had signs up to the utility. Are we doing anything water wise or sewers?
We are. We brought, we as part of that J.B. Hunt Drive project where they built the bridge across Blossom Lane, we extended the 12 inch water line there on J.B. Hunt Drive. And that's going to connect to the Lynx apartment, the new apartments over there. And that's all that's been part of our water master plan, just trying to move more water across I-49.
Well, they, again, they've kind of gone from the five lane down to the two lane, and it had utilities, and you can kind of see. And I figure at some point they'll start that, I'm assuming that roundabout, because it looks like they're just about to finish that road, at least on the west side. Okay.
Right.
How long a project is that? Is that a long-term project? Is our portion the push through that pretty quick, or is that?
Our portion will be pretty quick. I think the only thing remaining we have on that is our 12-inch water line crossing across Bellevue. Then I'm sure it'll take a while with the maintenance of traffic.
On the roundabout, but it looked like the track was on the east side up on that hill.
Okay. Other notable events, nothing too notable this month. We are trying to fill two vacancies for design technician and senior engineering technician. We had one of our senior techs moved on to start his own company this last month. So we've got some big shoes to fill there. So. Dan has been working hard. We've got some promising applicants, so looking to fill those positions. City Works and GIS, we do have some training dates set in October, looking to go live shortly thereafter. You know, right now, some of the things we're discussing is some of our processes for accounts receivable, and you know, we're having some roadblocks with City Works not integrating with Tyler and how we're going to manage that internally. So, trying to head off any potential issues and get our processes down prior to that go live date. And then upcoming, we've got Walnut Street advertising for bid. I have not received an exact advertisement date on that yet. I think the last I heard that bid was going to let us the time in late September. And then actually tomorrow at 2:00, we'll receive proposals for the dryer equipment. That was originally scheduled for last Friday. You know, we had some last-minute questions last week, so we pushed that opening for tomorrow. So.
Been a long time coming on that.
It has. It's been a very long time.
Before you leave, I've got a question for you. So I know that y'all have, it's Crafton, right, that supplements y'all's, their consulting engineer for supplemental review?
They are.
How, with these two openings that seem kind of, there wasn't much notice for y'all, do y'all have the ability to dictate how much they review? How many hours do you have? A lot of number of hours they can review for y'all. How do y'all manage?
What we did is we signed a contract with them that was an hourly contract up to $20,000. Really, Peter, we haven't used them much at all.
Okay.
We really haven't been in too much of a bind. I think there were a couple of times where we got a couple of large sets of plans in, and we weren't going to be able to make our 2-week plan deadline, so we gave them some plans. But we have not been utilizing them in the last few months at all.
Good. Well, I saw these two vacancies. I want to make sure y'all were covered.
We're keeping that in our back pocket for sure.
Cool.
Or this hasn't been quite as long as it was.
It was a little bit, there was a lull. There was definitely a lull in June and July with what was coming in, but we're seeing it pick back up.
We felt the exact same one, and now it's back to full flow, it seems like. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Hey, good afternoon. As I noted, things have been going pretty good at the plant. We have a good run of equipment performance and staffing, so all of our treatment looks good on the DMR report. No big issues on the industrial users and inspections. All the the results that he's listed there are all within what you would expect to see. Amber did include in her report a training, not a training, but a convention that she went to. That was a good trip for her. She learned a lot of stuff there. What she didn't include, she puts in there that she's been working on my words are not working with me today. Ordinance review. She's spending a lot of time on that and done a lot of really good work on that. We should be moving forward. That here before the work has come to fruition, but she's really done a good job on that. I feel like I should point that out. I tend to gloss over her reports sometimes, Paul too, but they do a good job. Significant events out of the facility is not a whole lot for July. Flow study continues on our headworks project. That's with Freese and Nichols. We did have two operators go to class for training for their next treatment license level. closed. Ryan and I are down, obviously, for July. And it was really a pretty good month on rain for July, 5.5 inches versus a nominal 4. So that was actually, I feel like the operations guys are doing a good job, maybe making a difference. There was actually about a week and a half long period there where we were below our 8.5. I think, well, maybe our nominal flow needs to be adjusted, but it seems to be holding pretty true to this point. But not a whole lot on this month. We've got a few more events to give you next month, but just the fun of having a delayed meeting for the month. But that, any questions for me?
All right, the last report is we're going to new business. Let's get into some resolutions.
I think I'm going to read these by number today instead of by name. Save a little time.
We start out here with resolution 2318, cooperative purchasing agreements. As you might have heard, Johnny, when he comes up here quite a few times, will reference an HJAC bid or a Sourcewell bid. We'll always go to the state bids first if they exist. But for some of this other equipment, a lot of these things, a lot of these manufacturers will put in bids to these outfits, and they act a lot like a state bid for us. This is recognizing that formally. We had never really done that. So a lot of this stuff that you're going to see here is just codifying, formalizing, getting us where we need to be with some of this policy and resolution. But we do feel, as written in this resolution, that it is more cost efficient for us to look at a nationwide bid like that than to go out and try to receive bids every single time we do something, especially when it's, some of this stuff is fairly specialized. Any questions?
Robert, you're familiar with the legalities of these co-ops, purchasing co-ops? To some?
Yeah, I mean, when we do one of these contracts, take a look at the bidding procedures that they use. Make sure that it's generally compliant with rights of law. I mean, they basically do the same thing that our Office of State Procurement does, or they do the same thing that we would do, but they're doing it on a larger scale. So.
Yeah. I'm bringing this up because a few years ago I would chase municipal work and I would see sizable projects, and I'm not naming any municipal names here, but there'd be six-figure projects that are, no, we didn't bid that out, we didn't have to, it was a co-op, but it was construction. And I thought, well, that can't be right. So I went and dug into Arkansas law, and it's kind of gray, but they're getting away with it. I mean, I don't think they're doing anything illegal, but I think it's kind of skating under its intended purpose when construction is part of these.
Well, that's not what I think is allowed. The construction's under a different code section, 22-9-3.
I would agree 100%.
And that's, yeah, you couldn't, I don't think you build a project, one of these cooperatives, that you can use by equipment. And then, this may be more lawyer thinking than you want to hear.
No.
But that particular code section uses the phrase goods and services. So that, I follow that precisely when it says goods and services.
Yep.
There's another statute, more general, municipal procurement statute, that uses a broader phrase, apparatus equipment. But I think that this focuses on goods and services. You've got to be buying something, and you've got to be other than construction services. Construction is more specifically covered by 22-9-3. So I think it's going to be something else besides a major public works project.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it would be a major one, but there's millions of dollars that are going through these things that are in construction, and it doesn't seem right from my research, though, it's kind of vague how they interpret it as services to be, I don't know. I did not dig much deeper than that, but I know it's being done.
I will say that we have purchased emergency generators and also had them do the installation.
Yeah.
Under
no doubt.
But that's that's the only thing. But it was all related to that piece of equipment.
Yeah.
This resolution is intended to allow you to use source if you're looking for. I'm thinking. Goodness versus equipment. It allows you all to give you three sources to go out and look for other than state bids. You have the discretion to do that. I assume if you had something that was more specialized, you needed to go a different route, then you would come back to, if it's something that we would have to approve, you'd come back. But ultimately, we would see a purchase if you were to buy something through this. I think in some of these we see later in the resolutions, we would look at it. I'm going to ask the question, is it in the budget? Is it something that... So this just allows y'all the discretion to go do, basically do your job, right? Is that what I understand?
So they, as Robert alluded, these programs, they go out for bid. They follow a set process to get those numbers.
Sure.
And then we just get the piggyback on
it. And all we're doing is approving for y'all to do that. You've done the due diligence. You put them on the list.
Yes, we wanted to formally recognize those. We've said it a lot, and Robert, quite right. Let's go ahead and put that in a resolution.
Well, I think nearly every instance I can think of, we've had a resolution the way competitive bidding for purchases under other cooperative purchasing programs. But as much as I like drafting resolutions, this will allow fewer resolutions because, for example, if you buy something from Sourcewell, the Rogers Water Utilities needs the commission approval for it to cost $35,000. You will get a staff recommendation permission to purchase this item through Sourcewell, and we won't have to. You have already waived competitive bidding. So, if it passes the resolution, you're going to need to trust staff to, if this is the best way to buy it, and you're waiving competitive bidding in advance, and you're saying that these three programs are acceptable, their procurement procedures are acceptable to you.
So it's still that same cash threshold of $35,000 that you have to bring mm-hmm. before us that we're waiting for.
Yes, anything over $35,000, you'll still have the decision on whether or not to authorize the expenditure.
So is it, I know that municipalities are held to that. I know the city of Bentonville is held to that $35,000. And what earmarks you all as having the same threshold as a municipality?
The commission passed a resolution a few years ago. They gave the superintendent the $35,000.
Okay. So do y'all mirror that? Even if that changes, I know it changed when I started with the city. It was $20,000, and a couple of years ago it went to $35,000. They give the cities a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah, it was less. It wasn't that long ago, I don't think.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, and commission, or at least the Water Works and Sewer Commission, this body operates as sort of a mini city council, so we track the procurement procedures of cities of the first class, because there's two city departments under this commission, so we try as much as reasonably possible. We don't pass ordinances, we don't have the power to pass ordinances, but we try to track the city procurement.
It's very quasi-city, yeah.
Well, these are some fine resolutions, so I wanted to just say that.
Thank you. There was a few of them going forward.
You all, it just gives, it clears you to do the things that you need to do. As I said, a $35,000 threshold. I was not aware of that, but as I'm learning, but y'all just do what you need to do. You're going to find what you need, and if you need us to do something, then we'll come back and pass it over $35,000.
Yes, sir. And if we don't feel like that's a good number, we always have that option to go out for bid. We'll do that. We want to do what's best for our ratepayers. At the end of the day, fortunately or unfortunately, most of the things we purchase far exceed the $35,000 threshold. So you're going to see us a lot up here for that. But in this case, staff does recommend approval of Resolution 2318.
I make a motion to approve.
I second.
All
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes carry 4-0.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
Resolution 2319.
The next three here are going back. As you recall, we had some issues on catastrophic leave. We had some other issues, and the request was made by the commission that we go back and kind of clean this up. We had, and true to form, we had policy all over the place. We did. We needed to clean it up, and that's what you've got in front of you now. We had three or four different policies that we sent to each department. We finalized it and sent it out again, and everybody was good. We went through about every scenario you could think of, although I'm sure that we didn't come up with it. But we tried to think of every single one that'll come up and codify that and put this into some nice language that's very, you know, there's, it's very, it's, you hopefully no one can get through this. Hopefully there's no loopholes in this. Very concise and clear, in my opinion, and everyone that works here as well. I hope you got a chance to look at them. The first one is a resolution approving statements of policy regarding customer accounts and other purposes. And again, this is basically, it's all the stuff we had before, but we put it into one policy that deals with how do you get a meter, how are we going to set it, how do you pay for it, if you tamper with it, what happens, how we're going to notify those people with texts and voicemails and everything else, and how we call it high usage and high use. And just also puts in there, you know, that we have no liability for failing to send out something in the event of higher average usage. We're just trying to cover it every way we can. That said, we're not trying to get out of anything. We're going to work with every customer that has an issue, try to take care of them and handle everything. But this will give us a good uniform policy across all of the departments, which we didn't have before. So, staff does recommend approval of resolution number 2319.
So I've got a quick question. Y'all did a really good job on this. I did get to read through it. How are y'all doing these amendments to your policy? Are you sending around each department, kind of having them mark it up, and then bringing it back in and sending it to Robert? Like, how is this working? Because y'all are doing a really good job.
Yes, we have a big program, and Dana will be the holder of all policy because he already does the HR policy. So he does a real good job making us organize it, keeping it where it needs to be. We have intranet that we're going to have with all of that on there. Robert's been able to look over all of them as well so that we don't find ourselves in an issue. That's why it took so long, frankly. So
I compliment the work that's been done because you're trying to spell out exactly how things need to be handled. I think it provides consistency. The one question that I have is that it says upon customer request, RW may, at its discretion. Who is the person who has that, who has the discretion? Is that centralized? Does one person have that discretion? So who makes that decision? And then the follow-up to that is it goes back to just the consistency.
Generally, that'll come back. Anything that's outside of this policy or has to be looked at will come back.
But if someone needs to have a special payment plan, it's a special payment agreement, who makes that decision?
ISO will make it there.
Okay.
At that level. And there's going to be a lot of these that are at that level. You know, even if a meter's set out in the field and it's not set level, set too low, or it's crooked, or the meter's not straight inside, that's all the way down to the field service person. So it jumps around, but any major issues usually come to me, and I welcome those. We all learn from them.
Like you said, you never know what you're going to get.
No, this is a great attempt.
You can't blanket everything.
It's not going to be perfect, but what it does too is it helps you when we get in those situations when someone's in here. Right. We tried to think of that as well.
Right. And I apologize. My question was specific to those payment plans, because that's where we've run into, at least the short time that I've been on here, is we've had people who have entered into payment plans, and then all of a sudden it's either they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and so My question is specifically to the payment plan. Someone who gets behind, someone who needs to work something out. Who decides if that happens and how it happens? I know we spelled out it's like 6 months. Does that come to you, or is there someone? And the reason I'm asking that question is making sure that we're consistent, that someone can't say, well, we did one thing for you, we did something different for someone else. So who makes that decision?
Let me back up just a little bit. What happened, what got us in the issues that we did have was the software implementation, and we were not performing shutoffs. If we're performing shutoffs, which we had always done before then, we had a short stint during COVID, and then we went back because we saw what happened. Then we had this technical issue, so for a few months we weren't doing shutoffs because we just didn't think it was right if we didn't have everything, all of our ducks in a row, if you will. If this is working like it should, if we have shutoffs working, this never, we don't get in arrears, we don't get that situation. That situation cannot happen. So, yeah, hopefully that helps answer your question.
It does.
That's the only reason we got into those problems to start.
You didn't write that into the new policy. That if there's a new policy updated, you're those are things
you're not doing anymore.
It was just more about in my past, we had times of time that we make sure that I called and talked to a different person because they got a different story each time, and it just kind of muddied the water oftentimes. So if you had a single person, you've got to talk to that person. That's the agreement, and therefore you stay on the same page. So.
And the new software will help with that as well.
Perfect.
All the notes are in there. The promises are in there. If we can keep track of them much better than we did in the past.
That's good.
It looks good. I applaud the work.
At the city, we call that mom and dad. That's mom, and they'll call somebody else and ask dad.
They keep calling to
30 years they did that.
I'll make a motion that we pass resolution number 23-19.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve resolution 23-19. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes carry 4-0. We are on resolution 23.
Yes, this is a resolution approving statements of policy regarding catastrophic water leaks. Again, putting it down into a very concise policy, uniform across the board that we can all use.
Move approval for resolution 23-20.
Second.
Motion and second to approve resolution 23-20. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Ayes carry 4-0. Resolution 23-21.
Regarding meters and for other purposes, and again, this one is all the way down to the only time we have leverage to make somebody or repair or replace or whatever a meter set before we can set that meter. If we set it and they've got water, then you're just never going to get it. So this sets out, it references our standard drawing showing everything. It also tells you all the things that you cannot have that you can share with them, tell them beforehand. Say, look, these are all the reasons we won't set a meter, Mr. Developer. It's broken, service in degrade, so on and so forth. And codifies it in one nice document we can use on the internet after us. Staff does recommend resolution passing, resolution 23-21. If you have any questions, I'd be happy.
I think it's on the page 38, but look, it says irrigation meter shall, I think it's just maybe another word, shall be set only if they have frost-free hydrant with a hydrant with a vacuum. Am I reading that? I don't know if it was a redundant. Just look at that. It's only
if they have a frost-free hydrant with a vacuum breaker or an approved RPC.
Those are two separate.
Yeah, it's a little redundant there. But we know, and they'll know more importantly, but we can make that.
When I read that, I'm thinking, okay, I was trying to understand that. I understood the frost-free hydrant with a hydrant with a vacuum breaker and then the RPC. Okay.
There's some extraneous rules.
Okay, that's okay.
But yeah, we have a lot of trouble with that. The developer, home builder will be putting that in, they'll put a frost-free hydrant. It goes to the masonry, you know, a 5 gallon bucket or a 55 gallon drum here. It's sitting in it all night long, and there's no protection between that and our system. So we police that very hard.
Well, the RPZs, and you have that inspection each year. Is that pretty well adhered to? You know, we get the letters usually in May.
Yeah.
Do people generally do that? You get a letter?
Hmm? I didn't get a letter.
I think they put it in. I thought it was in the bill that you have.
No, we send that out actually separate from the
house. I just wonder.
The state requires that. The health department requires it.
Okay.
Good. I make a motion that we pass resolution 23-21.
In a second.
Motion and a second to approve resolution 23-21 regarding meter policies. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
No more policy here. This one is, I'll just read it. RW has been approved by the ANRC to receive funding for a project known as RPCF Solids Handling Improvements Phase 2 in the form of a loan from the Arkansas Clean Water State Revolving Loan Fund in the amount of $31,246,250 with an anticipated term of 20 years at a combined interest rate of 1.5% per annum. And we've done all the necessary due diligence, but in order to proceed with the project and the issuance of the bonds under the Arkansas Clean Water State Revolving Loan Fund, said bonds to be repaid by revenues derived from the municipal sewer system, it will be necessary for the Rogers City Council to issue a resolution of intent regarding the project in accordance with the United States Treasury regulation. So we've done everything. This is just the formality. Going back, we asked for permission to go after the grant. It was granted. Now we just have to do this. Again, that project, you know, the dryers bid tomorrow. So we'll be really moving forward with that.
And I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2322.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve resolution 23-22. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Carried 4-0. Did you see the strategy in that? I read resolution 23-21. Those two words.
Thank you.
Whenever engineers design equipment and projects out there, a lot of times they, you know, they make a specification, and then in order to achieve that project, the vendor will create a item to match those specifications. That's great in that it gives you exactly what you need for that particular project. It's really bad whenever they wear out and you have to replace them. Essentially, that means we have to buy that Flender Gear box from Flender Gear, and there's only one rep for those in the area, and so I'm asking for permission to waive competitive bidding because there is only one of those out there, and that's all I'm going to get if I go through the process of bidding. So.
Well, it's quite a choice.
Yeah.
You can have this one or this one.
Exactly. I'll make a motion to pass resolution 2323.
Second.
Motion and a second for resolution
2323.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay.
Basically, follow up question. So, when you have a situation like that, do you feel like, I mean, so 37,433, is that a reasonable? I mean, it's almost like you're held hostage to. I've got to buy it, and I've got to buy it from you, and oh, by the way, you engineered it. So, is this a fair?
It's
high scored, man. Not that we have an alternative. That's why I've already voted this fast.
No, you're exactly right. It's a 15 horsepower motor that is on this thing. I feel like typically I would expect that to be a $20,000 to $25,000 gearbox. So I feel like it's a little high. But most of my frame of reference for buying gearboxes is back before COVID, because I pretty much quit buying things during COVID. And did a lot of rebuilding gearboxes during COVID. The problem is they don't make rebuild kits for this box, so I can't rebuild this one, number one. Number two, I don't have a spare for it, and it's in a train that I cannot bypass. I can't shut it down, and it's a key part of treatment, so I don't have time to send it off to get it rebuilt, even if I can get a rebuild kit for it.
Well, no way questioning the confidence that you. I just thought, gosh, that just seems like that's a great deal. If you can get, I can make the equipment, and I can tell you, you're gonna be the only one that can fix it.
There's a few of those.
There's a few, right?
Now, your question is even more succinct on the lamellas.
The screen
that's coming up on that screen.
Saw that.
Those, I mean, they're. I have even talked to some local machine shops about just trying to build the part. And we did that in an emergency, and it didn't really work very well.
I had no expertise. It just, right. The general feel of it was wrong.
It
made me go,
It does. It does feel wrong.
All what you're doing,
rusted.
And that was all I could think of. Now that you said that.
We probably saved some money on the initial purchase, and it cost us some money on the long-term maintenance of it. What I have started doing on these new projects, a lot of my spare parts list is significantly larger on projects that have been enacted since I've been here versus my predecessors, so that I'm purchasing those gearboxes while they're making them, and I get up front. And I get those now. Anything that's a single point of failure in our new processes, I strive to do that. It increases our upfront cost a little bit, but it eases those maintenance issues where we do things like this, so that if I had one, like I do a lot of things out there, I can put a rebuilt unit up there, pull the old unit off, send it out, and get rebuilt.
Well, that's, I think it's a good board thinking.
It works future, but this was obviously done probably before I came. But your question is very valid, and it's even more noticeable on one coming up. This one, it could be argued that this is a fair price. But
I appreciate it. I won't ask it again on that other one.
I meant to tell you guys too, all of these were budgeted purchases. It just took me an extra month to get. And there's there. Should have done that. Okay. And this one is for a transformer, to have a spare transformer out there. So, because we get a commercial utility rate that we get for our electricity out of the plant, we are responsible for maintaining our own transformers at the plant. They deliver electricity to us at 13,200 volts, three phase. We send it around in a loop around the plant. It gets broke down from there. These transformers are what do that. The problem with that is we're responsible for those transformers. We don't get to call the power company and go, a transformer blew. The transformer blows, we're responsible for replacing it. We don't have a spare transformer. I'm asking for permission to buy this now. The reality is it probably will be a carryover budget item. It probably won't show up this year. You'll probably see this in next year's budget versus actually going out this year.
What's the lead time on it, they're saying? Just curious, versus what?
14 bills.
14
bills. Yeah, I've been no longer than that. I think we're 68 weeks. So, yeah.
So you're asking approval to purchase, but it's like 14 months, so it actually goes another calendar year.
Right.
So you can go buy and buy another next year.
Right. Well,
two in stock.
I have to have it in the budget to be able to order it, so it's in the budget this year. If it shows up, we've got the money budgeted to pay for it. It won't show up. So what you'll see, I won't have to ask for a new resolution, but what you'll see is in our budget, it'll be a carryover item. All I'm doing is locking in the price for what it's going to look like on next year's budget. That makes sense to you.
I make a motion to approve resolution 2324.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve resolution 23 regarding spare transformers for RPCF. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. The ayes carry 4-0. Yeah, I know that our elected clients, we've had people come to us and say, hey, we found some that can be here in 30 weeks from South Korea, and they're made out of a cocaine. Yeah, we haven't approved that, but it's been scary on transformers.
It is. I have a deal with this with the plant manager at Springdale. They actually have a transformer there on site that would work for me as well. Like in an emergency, I can call on them. They ship it, and then they end up with my brand new one, essentially. But it's probably need to be a little more forward thinking than that.
We've been stealing our own off poles for old houses that
has
been houses in my life.
Right. So these are the Lamellas that I referenced a moment ago. They are purchased directly from the screen manufacturer that told me the best way to fix my screen was to pull it out of the hole and send it back to them. So it is operating, but the Lamellas are essentially a wear item. They bust and break, and so we need to have them on site to get them back up. It seems like one of these cases lasts us about 2 years.
This is the German manufacturer, right?
Yes. Vulcan. Yeah, that's where that comes from. It's probably in here. But let's see if I can
find it. You got 15% discount.
So there's your number, and all of that comes in a surprisingly small case. I will bring the resolution back up.
It doesn't come in a $71,000 box, huh?
Yes, it doesn't look like it ought to all fit in there. I think you could. I
think you would struggle to put $70,000 for the cash in that box, honestly.
I'll make a motion to pass resolution 23-25.
I'll second it. Motion and second to approve resolution 2325. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Ayes have 4-0.
Thank you. I think that was my last.
What was it that went bad on that screen last time?
There was an arm. That if you think of like the old time steam locomotives, the arm that connects the wheels together, there's two drives that move two separate sets of lamellas. And then there's arms on both sides. So there's four total arms. And we got a large sewer rag. I don't know how it was. It's basically baby wipes and cleaning wipes and hair and everything all wadded up, and it makes a very, very strong textile. And it rolled it up at the bottom of the screen, and one of the teeth grabbed it, but it was hung underneath the screen. And so the torque from the motors and the gear reducer and the chain and everything like that pulled that thing, and on that bottom arm on the connecting side, it bent that arm out. Well, when it bent that arm, now everything on the one side is out of time with all the stuff on the right, and so it created kind of a domino effect and took out several bearings.
Was that arm on the downhill side? Because I know it's an angle.
Yes.
So your gravity gravity took the textile downhill.
Yes, that's the side where the textile did not want to come up, and so it was down. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
This resolution is authorizing the recordation and authentication of certain resolutions of the Rutgers Water Works and Sewer Commission. This is basically, for some reason or another, I didn't get all the signatures of the last chairman on a few resolutions, 20, 22, 23, and 24. We can't go back and ask those people to re-sign, so we have to have this resolution so the people in that position now that can sign.
We can't chase him down?
No, we can't do it. Can't do it that way. We have to do it by resolution and then resign.
So don't forget to sign these when I leave your suggestion.
I make a motion to approve resolution 2326.
Second.
Signature resolution.
Thank you.
Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes have it.
So I'd come to y'all last month and told y'all about the trench boxes and stuff, and I thought it was under the competitive bidding. It was not. So we reached out to three local vendors here in Northwest Arkansas to purchase, get quotes from them for that. So we would like to waive the sealed competitive bidding and for other purposes so we can go ahead and purchase the trench boxes. And stuff. We the three quotes. They come back. One of the quotes. It's a trench box that we would prefer not to have because of the weight and stuff on them. And everything. They meet our quota of what we want. They're really too heavy for us to use, and everything. So we would still like to go ahead and use the price quote from the previous one that we brought. $111.80.
Safety first.
Yes, sir.
But this gives you up to 50 to spend.
Yes, sir.
Budget item.
Yes, sir. Budget item.
I make a motion to approve resolution 2327.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Resolution 2327 passes 4-0. Thank you, Mr. President. No brainer. I'm going
to. Okay. These are the bid results for the 13th Street bicycle pedestrian improvement and the Poplar and 13th Street roundabout. These were. Originally two projects the city had bid out as one. Let's see, the first part I'm showing here is on South 13th Street between New Hope and Ulrich. This is Elmwood Elementary School right here. And what we're doing here is as the city's constructing pedestrian trails on the side of the road and also mill and overlaying the street, we're taking the opportunity to close the gap between two dead-end water lines, one that wraps around the side of the school and the other one that dead-ends here on 13th Street. So this is a water line extension that will connect those two ends. It's about 624 feet. The other part of the project is a roundabout at 13th and Poplar Street, and so we've got vitrified clay pipe for the sewer that we'll be replacing with PVC and a combination of I believe we have AC line running under Poplar Street and cast iron running up and down 13th that we'll be replacing with new ductile iron in this area of construction. On this part of the project, there's about 1,100 feet of water and 1,000 feet of sewer line. If we go down here to the bid tab, Brothers Construction, we had two bidders, Emery Sapp & Son and Brothers Construction. Brothers Construction was the low bid. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at these numbers. We did come in below the engineer's estimate on the water and sewer. The numbers were still quite above what we were seeing pre-COVID. They have come down from what we've seen in recent bids, so that's an encouraging sign for future projects. I do want to point out that this project was not in our fiscal year 24 budget. We pulled a lot of these street projects out because we honestly weren't sure which projects were gonna happen. Staff, we do recommend approving the bid with the understanding that we're going to continuously monitor these construction schedules. From speaking with the project manager from the city of Rogers here, my understanding is that they're going to start. They intend to start on South 13th Street down by Elmwood, where we've got lesser expenses. So we likely won't see the majority of these expenditures hit until either later in this fiscal year or in the next fiscal year. But we will be keeping track of that budget as the year goes on, make sure we're not.
Has the city already approved this?
I don't believe they have yet.
There's quite a bit of, it worked out for our numbers, but theirs are quite a bit off.
Yeah, I know they intend to recommend the award of the bid to Brothers.
It looks like, you know, there's $3 million difference worth just in those stupid street lights. If they could just tweak that a little bit, maybe they could bring things down.
I think that was a point of contention, and I think they're going to work out something to reduce the cost on the.
Well, as a taxpayer myself here, I would hope that they can change light poles out and something will do just as well. Mm-hmm.
Will they be as
pretty? Not as pretty as Bentonville's. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to award the bid for 13th Street pedestrian improvements, 13th Hopkins to Brothers Construction. Going to vote on this, or all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The ayes have it 4-0. So that's a little
complicated. Thank you. The next one we have, and I apologize, I didn't spell out a motion on what we're actually doing here with this item, but I will provide an explanation. This is a set of plans we received for a subdivision in the Prairie Creek area. This area is approximately 30 acres, and it's near the Prairie Creek Marina along Park Drive here. Grab my notes. So they'll be constructing 24 estate lots in this area. This is all within our water service boundary, which in this area is the lake. And currently our specifications and our state that any water line extension outside of the city of Rogers needs to come before the Water Works and Sewer Commission for approval. And so this project doesn't have any participation money in it. This is just a water line extension within our water service boundary, and authorization for staff to enter into a facilities extension contract with the developer.
So this is behind those existing Water Oaks condos?
I believe they're just north, if it's the same condos. I
think it's across the street from it. It'll be there at the entrance of the
motel.
No, further down, right.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Crossing those condos.
Okay, yep.
Brian, could you just go back at it? So where do we have water at this point? Blue is where we.
So right now, we have water, along Park Road, where this, where the entrance of the subdivision's gonna be. And, we go down here and our public water main ends pretty much at that guard shack, where the Corps of Engineers property is. We have a meter there that feeds the marina in the park.
You're gonna make a blue bill?
Well, so what we're doing right now is we're having them extend water out to this point right here. And at some point in the future, I would anticipate us looping back into Grimes Drive back here. So ultimately, yes, the plan is to loop all that in because we have experienced some breaks and some issues here along Grimes.
Can you make them do that off-site extension?
We didn't feel like that was very feasible for them to do that looped extension. You know, given the number of lots they had.
I see the northernmost finger gets a lot closer to the Grace Lane,
right,
than where you showed it cutting across. I don't know. It looks like it's, you know, 15 to 20% of their overall length, or probably less than that by the time they loop it internal. Freeze at great price.
I know. What we try to do is, you know, this looks to me like somebody is planning to extend this road further at some point in the future.
Sorry, which way is north? Can you show me?
North is,
yeah,
left.
Let me
go back to this.
Yeah, I got you now.
So if this extends here north at some point in the future and they continue to develop lots around here, we decided that would probably be a better time to make this loop than, you know, this is really going to be somebody's front yard, not in the roadway.
Have you looked at the aerial with this to see if that's feasibly where the road's going to go, if it's following ridge lines or if that's across a ravine?
It is across a ravine. I mean,
because those typically don't get built out.
Sure.
And so I just don't want this to be sitting forever, us waiting and hoping that somebody's going to do it, or if we end up paying for it to loop it.
But let me ask you, back to my, where I started the question. So we have water there, so they're going to tie in. What is our cost? I mean, so if I'm developing that property, is it not my, would it not be my cost to run the water to into that land? So yes. What is our cost? We're not extending anything. They're just tying into what's already there, right?
Correct.
Okay. And if at some point down the line we chose to extend it over to Arabian Drive or we tied loop, whatever, that would be our cost. But we have no cost in this, as they tie in, they pay whatever the fee is, and they run it into their subdivision the way that they've drawn it out.
Right.
We always take a look at those to see exactly what you're talking about, how we can make the future, what's the best layout that'll ultimately give us what we need. And it's always kind of a, you know, we can take it to their building confines. We feel sometimes it's overstepping. We didn't have a connection there before.
Yeah.
We try to make that we will always make them go up to the edge of the property, whether they need to or not. We'll always leave a point of connection there.
I just know how some municipalities are very, very serious about dead end stubs and water turnover. Fayetteville being one of them. I'm seeing that more and more. And so any opportunity to even ask the question, hey, will you extend it, even if they say no and we're not willing to chase it, is it worth it to just ask the question? Because like you said, if you look at it without topo, it's really, you know, you see these roads and you're going, oh yeah, they're going to extend the Arabian, you know, I can see that and they're developing next, but you find out that that's not. You get two developable lots out of all that acreage. Sometimes it's worth asking questions.
You're right. It's questionable whether a road's ever going to be built in that ravine. I know they've got a driveway there along Arabian. This situation, we felt that it was probably more reasonable to request that extension when or if that
Okay.
If y'all thought about it, I'm happy with it.
We tossed it around multiple ways. So this was a little.
29 lots is a pretty good subdivision, I will say that. Especially out here, I mean, this is gonna fly off the shelves like hotcakes. It's not a low demand area. I was fishing the lake this weekend. It's not a low demand area. So, another question while we're here, and I'm sorry, the water service boundary, and I know y'all are probably flinching when I said that. I know those marinas get started with water, now that they've got. You may want to just put those in there. You exclude the lake, but I know that they get started. Well, I grew up on Greer's Ferry, and I know that the marinas out there have water too. So you may just loop those in, so they're not outside your water.
Okay, we're saying that in campus.
I just, yeah.
Or at least the store.
That's what I heard. It's just after our last couple weeks. I'll leave it at that.
That's the
chuckle.
Are we still searching the marina?
We have that 2-inch meter right there where it ends, and everything else is theirs to take care of. And
that's right, they have the
maintain. We have that meter there and it pays for that.
But so the meter is in our service area.
I'm just. I'm not saying when I bring up water services.
So I guess the action item we're asking for is to allow staff to enter into the facility extension contract with the developer of Prairie Creek PUD.
Is there a recommendation?
This is just a motion.
But I mean, y'all recommending us to do that? Is that what you're? I mean, you're asking us to approve it, but is there a recommendation?
Yes, we would. Staff recommends.
I wasn't trying to trick you. I was just curious if this is something that's beneficial to RWU.
Now I'll make a motion to take the staff recommendation for the facilities extension agreement for Prairie Creek PUD.
I'll second.
We have a motion in a second. To approve the facilities extension agreement for Prairie Creek PUD. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes have it 4-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
To fulfill the vacancy that is serving, and you don't have to do anything, but we can have some candidate or a candidate for sure. Robert can chime in here on how the different options that you have. If you want to go to the executive session, if you want to interview somebody, make a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the commission would need to fill Mr. Shirley's vacancy. Make a recommendation to the make an appointment to the city council that city council can consider ratify. So I believe Mr. Dover has a candidate to present for consideration. But you can if do anything you want, the commission will have authority to make an appointment. If you want to discuss anything in executive session, the commission can go to executive session to discuss the appointment of a public officer, and in the executive session, if the commission does vote to go to the executive session, you can have the person that is being considered for the public office in the executive session with you, so you can have an interview with the client. If the commission does go to executive session, any action that the commission takes will not be valid until the commission reconvenes in public session and votes publicly on this decision. I'll answer any questions about how you'd like to proceed.
So we can vote today, or we can defer and vote later.
You can do lots of different things.
Lots of this power.
We can approve it, and ultimately, with that, we can approve that today.
Yes.
City Council still has to.
Yes, you can do anything. You can interview the nominee in public. You can interview the nominee in executive session. You can discuss the nominee in executive session.
You have a recommendation nominee?
Yes, I do. Ms. Paige Selfmeyer to take Roger Surley's unexpired term.
How much time is left on Roger's? Just curious.
Didn't look that up, but it was unexpired.
Yes, but 10 years.
Yeah, there are long terms. But no.
That said, my daughter's gonna be driving by the time it ends on here. So.
But there's a difference between an unexpired term fulfillment by the commission versus someone that resigns at the end of their term and it's the appointment. So that's the delineation and differentiation.
So you need a motion, Robert, that we would approve the appointment of Paige Selfmeyer to the unexpired term for Roger Surley?
Yes, Mr. Carmichael. That's my other
eloquent tonight. Did I make that would be in the form of a motion.
That would be the form of a motion that the executive commission can vote on that motion. Yes.
I'll second.
That was my motion. To appoint Paige Selfmeyer to the unexpired term that has been vacated by Roger Surley.
Mr. Chairman, I understand the motion, and there's a second, Mr. Green.
Do we want to second again just to make it official?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize the motion was being made. I thought it was a question about what motion to make. That's a motion. With the chair understand that, and so does council.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes carry 4-0.
Congratulations.
You don't know what the term is yet, but.
And that's, sorry for the confusion. Welcome.
And with that, we will call the August 21st meeting of the Rogers Water and Sewer Commission to an end.
Thank you.